Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. I'm Carlotta Walsman. I'd like to welcome you to Crosswalk Talk Radio. This is your opportunity to hear what God's and tonight to participate. Prayer for yourself. I'd like to invite you to call in to pray for our nation and our future. Crosswalk Talk Radio is a production of Crosswalk Life TV. And NowFaith.tv is an equipping center online with videos and audios, articles and prayers that you can print out and begin your own ministry training notebook. You can share the prayers with other people and practice on each other, and you can receive pastoral mentoring from us. I'd like to encourage you tonight to check out our websites at crosswalklife.com as well, where you'll find over 200 free articles. Tonight I've invited several of my prophetic friends to call in. You've got to push that number one, guys, so I know that you're willing to pray. And like I said, tonight I'm inviting you to pray for our nation, to pray not to endorse candidates at all, okay, but to pray God's values, to pray that his kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven, things like that. And we have so many issues to pray about that there's no way we should run out of prayer points, amen? There should be enough to keep going the whole 2 hours. And I hope that you'll help me. I was working on the disaster room in the basement today, and my body feels like it's been doing yard work all day. So I really need your help. We're very concerned about what's going on in our country, but we've been making this bed. You know, the old saying, if you make your bed, you've got to lie in it. We've been making it for years and years and years. A lot of people don't realize that the Antichrist is not going to come on the scene just with a backflip overnight. You know, that he has been building and building and building. What's that got to do with this? Well, there's a new world order agenda that's in progress. If you have eyes to see it, you can see that the morals and the choices and the spirituality, et cetera, in this country has been going downhill for some time. And now it's come to the place where even whether to include God in a conference or whatever convention has come to a vote. I mean, come on. So I'm here tonight to represent what I best discern as God's desires. The real question is, what does God want? Not what do we want, not what does a party want, but what does God want? And I want to remind you of the seriousness of things that we need to pray about. I'm only going to be talking here a few minutes, and I'm hoping that some of you will be willing to pray within, say, 15 minutes or something, and we can get on with prayer, because I don't want to be one of those prayer meetings that you talk about things, but you don't actually get to the praying. But, you know, no healthy person likes to prophesy bad news. But I believe, personally, that I've heard God say that the natural disasters, even the economic collapse and downturns and the loss of value for our dollar and all of these things that we hear constantly on the news, that it's only going to get worse if America does not repent. There's lukewarm that needs to repent. There's heathen that needs to repent. If you're as old as I am in your 60s, you can definitely look at the media and see how it's done an about face. Almost everything has something in it that's either immoral, sinful in some way, if it doesn't downright support the New World Order, the satanic agenda, have witchcraft in it, demonic powers overtly. And I could just go on and on, but things have changed so much, especially in the last few years. If you look at the charts that I put on Facebook, you can see there's been a dramatic deterioration. And I believe it's directly related to the fact that we're not obeying God, that even Christians, when I put things on Facebook and I'll talk about the Ten Commandments, they're like groaning, like, we're not going back under the law again, are we? Rather than seeing that, yeah, because we have Christ in us, we're spirit-filled people, we do fulfill the law. We're not legalistic, but we want to be totally aligned with God. We want to be in agreement with Him. But I want to remind you of some of the things that I've prophesied and that others have prophesied and confirmed about the future. You know, as bad as Sandy was, and gosh, I've sat through so many hurricanes, I'm not about to minimize what happens during a hurricane, and I'll be surprised if they're back in order within a couple of years. But there's going to be more storms. I hear the Lord saying it over and over, that there's going to be a second disaster in New Orleans greater than Katrina. And, of course, that's just a soup bowl ready to be filled with water again. There's going to be blackouts across this nation. I believe they're going to start before the end of this year. I believe they're going to start in Atlanta. But it's hard to say that now because we already had blackouts in New Jersey and New York. We do have a member of our team over in New Jersey working right now, by the way. And I know you all are doing what you can do. But there's going to be also chaos and rioting in the streets in some areas after this election, because it doesn't matter who wins. Some people are going to be very unhappy. They're very passionate about what they believe is their answer, and they're threatening people already. And we need to really pray that this country doesn't absolutely start moving toward total riots, need martial law, and maybe towards something that looks like civil war in some areas. There's going to be more recession. We could get very close to a Great Depression again. The housing values are going to continue to go up and down and make it worse. There's already been active military movement across the nation and Russian submarines armed with nukes around our coast. What exactly that will mean, I don't know, but I don't like it. there's been what I would call occult manipulation of finances, of banks, of inflating the dollar, of just printing new money when we can't back it up, all of that. You know that. I'm just reminding you of some prayer points, things that we really do need to pray about. I believe the storms are going to get worse in intensity. Worse tornadoes, worse earthquakes, stronger winds. The one good thing about Sandy is the winds weren't as strong as some tornadoes, but it was so huge and so powerful. And another thing about hurricanes is if they stay in one place and move slowly, then that's horrible. But another thing that I've noticed is God pinpointing to pray about cities that have gone like almost way totally with the homosexual agenda. We need to really pray for those cities to come to repentance so that they can be blessed and they can be saved. And I'm including cities in other places like Tel Aviv, you know, the cities here in the U.S. We need to pray about that. We love those people. We love everyone. We want everyone to know Christ intimately. But as long as these storms are coming, you know, New York just said again how they're for same-sex marriages and the homosexual agenda, and within like 2 days, they're zapped. Now, some people would say that's coincidence, and I'm just mean, you know, to think that there's a connection. But, you know, I'd rather not try that out. I'd rather be aligned with God in total agreement with Him and not know, you know, how long it takes God to let judgment fall. But like I say, the United States has been heading all these directions for years. This is not any sudden reaction on God's part, if it is. There's going to be severe water and food shortages. I hope that you're preparing. I hope that at least Sandy was enough to get some more of you going and seeing how those people are hungry. And this can happen to you because there's different things, fires, droughts, storms. And I hope you'll listen to our program last month with my prophetic friend from Texas, Kim Beard. I thought she gave a lot of practical advice. You can look on my Facebook or my nowface.tv website and find the list that I used to put my safe room together. It's not just a three-day room. It's longer than that, and I think it'll help you decide, you know, as you listen to the Lord's voice, you know, how much preparation do I need to do? See, you've got to realize we really do have Chinese and Russian military already on our soil. We've been training them. It seems like a pattern we've got of training people that actually use that training to come against us, but, you know, what do I know? And there is this great delusion, it's so obvious. The great deception is so obvious. We wondered what it would look like. And it's like no matter how many facts you give people, it's like they can't see them. They just can't see them. And no matter how much they complain themselves at how bad things are for them, they can't see the cause and effect. And that, seriously, is delusion. But all behind all this, the banks failing, and you know, very, very, very wealthy people around the world that are part of the New World Order, they can cause these things to happen overnight. And so we've got different kind of satanic and antichrist movements on the increase, big, big, big time. The reason we don't seem to notice is because it's one of their major, major strategies is to not let any of their covens be discovered. And so there's some upfront people like mafia and all, but most of the major satanic underground that's seriously preparing for Armageddon, and I mean seriously like developing hybrid part human super soldiers, they're not lukewarm about this. Be not mistaken. They are not lukewarm about this. They really do plan on taking over the world while some of us sleep through it. But there's just a great seduction that has gone on. It's incredible. If you have a discerning of spirits, you can see this seductive spirit going on where people are seduced into making choices that go against their own values, much less God's values. It's like they've forgotten what their own values are. But men's hearts will fail after this election. And, of course, most of you will hear this after the election. And we're praying. We're going to pray for you tonight. Because when you see the riotous, chaotic, violent reactions that some people have to the election, regardless of who wins, you know, there'll be some people that are very upset, then it won't be that hard for you to picture that not only is there going to be war overseas, but there's going to be terrorism. There's going to be violence in the streets, and there are going to be bombs that go off in the United States. Now, some of this is going to last for a while, and then we've also been prophesying to you that there's going to be some years that are like famine with serious food and water shortages because, you know, it doesn't matter so much how much money you've got if there's nothing on the shelves. If the gas prices go up high enough, then the truckers will not be getting the products to the shelves. And so prepare for shortages. Just like Joseph, other people in the Bible, God used them in huge ways to prepare for shortages. But we're believing that there will be also great opportunity for harvest. And those of you that have been sowing into good ground all these years who have been looking for that harvest to turn white, well, it is. And it's going to be even whiter this week. Because people are going to feel like their hopes are dashed and they're going to, you know, realize that they can't put their hopes in a man or a group of men or a party, that they have to put their hopes in God. Others will be almost suicidal because they're just going to get the picture that the economy is going downhill. The inflation is going up too fast and there are too few jobs. And, you know, this is what gets me. The same people that want so badly to keep Medicare will also vote for more abortion. And we've already had 50 million babies aborted, and those were the people that were going to pay for your Medicare. So people just aren't making sense. And we can pray tonight, another thing, is for their eyes to be open, their ears to be open, that they'll see cause and effect, and they'll understand that you can't have both. You know, you can't have a nice Medicare retirement and have less people, significantly less people, pouring into it. And it's not that I care more about the money than the babies, but I'm saying people aren't even making sense. I mean, they're not, the ones that are money-minded and are going to vote money-minded, they're not even making sense. You can't have both. So blessed are those that support Israel. We can pray that our country will make that strong stand that Israel was actually asking for in September and didn't get, and that we ourselves will be prepared spiritually in body and soul and spirit and mind, and that we will press into the Lord, that we'll have that intimate, quiet time with Him that will enable us to be the ones that are the strong witnesses in the end time, that we will be able to believe for greater works, for multiplication of what we've got so that we can help others, that regardless of the chaos that comes around here in the United States, that we will be the ones that can point people to the anchor that we have in Christ. They'll see the peace that passes understanding. They'll see that we really do have now faith, not just someday faith or yesterday faith. And I just thought I'd prime the pump with some of those comments. Didn't actually pray over any of them yet. And I'm hoping that you all will push number one. Let me know that you're willing to pray. And I just ask that everybody that joins in tonight will be a born-again believer and be praying about God's kingdom being established on earth. Again, we're not here to endorse a candidate or get into political debate. I don't think any of us can stand another hour of it. But we are here to declare, using scripture, using God's truth, and to decree and to speak forth the invisible into the visible, knowing that God has, if He's letting these disasters happen, it's to draw all men to Himself. It's always for our good. He has our best interest at heart, is to draw us to Him, and He knows what it'll take. So we have to trust Him in this. Amen. I only have one caller right now, so I'm hoping, well, I have a bunch of callers, but only one has pushed number one, saying they're willing to pray. So I want to encourage like 20 or 30 of you to do that, because I'd like to just, you know, give a lot of people an opportunity to pray. Maybe you'll pray 3 or 4, 5 minutes at the most each, and then don't feel like you have to pray over everything, because there are, okay, there they are. There's more callers, and they'll want some prayer points too. Hallelujah. I really believe in the power of corporate agreement, exponential power of that. So let's go to our callers. Okay. Area code 610, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sister Carlotta. How are you?
I am pretty good, except I worked in the basement all day. What's your name, please?
I'm Yolanda.
Yolanda, okay. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And so are you willing to lead us in prayer for a few minutes?
Sure.
Great.
Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord, and we just bless your name on this evening, God. We thank you that we're able to come to your throne, Lord God, and we just bless you. We thank you that we can approach your throne by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior, Father. We thank you for that. We ask, God, that you would move upon our nation and our government. Father, we loose the power of the enemy and all his cohorts from their assignment within our government in the name of Jesus, to return no more, Father, to their assignments. And we cancel their assignments, God, and we bind America to godly justice, to integrity and moral sobriety in Jesus' name. And we speak in our nation, Father, civility, the love of God to be shed abroad in others' hearts, Father. And we ask, Father, that you might move by your Spirit and in the way you desire, so, God, that your people of God might stand up and be bold in these last days, Father, and that they might be used according to your will for them in this season, in this time, Lord, to be a part, Father God, of your mass call to those who would be named amongst your own, Father, and who would be written in the book of life.
Yes.
Lord, we speak even now that there be sorrow, godly sorrow and repentance here in America, Father. We ask, Lord God, that you might move by your Spirit in a special, Lord God, in a unique way in our nation, Lord, that we, the people of God, might know your hand being moved, Father. We might see it, we might recognize it, we might discern it, Father, and that we would follow, we would fall in alignment with your will, O God, that we might be able to do what you tell us to do at the appointed time and the appointed season. Lord, we just thank and praise you, Father God. We speak salvation to the masses in America, and we ask, God, that you would give the body of Christ new unction and desire to walk in the word and to walk in wisdom. Lord, to be bold in these last days to stand for the kingdom of God. We pray against the works of the enemy that would cause people to rise up in violence, in arguments, and in deception, Father. And we pray discernment for the people of God so that our nation can overcome by the obedience of the people of God in this last day, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're drawing your people, O God, into new obedience, not just for our own personal walks, but, Father, that our obedience would bring your kingdom into the earth, Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray that the people of God would obey your promptings rather than responding in the flesh about the newly chosen presidential candidate, Father. We pray that whatever the outcome, we, your people, Father, would be succinct and in line with whatever it is you'd have us to do in response, O God, to this new president. Father, we pray that you give us to resolve, that resolve in our hearts, Father, to follow hard after you no matter what should come our way in these last days. We thank you in advance, Father, for the movement. We thank you in advance, Father, for discernment. We thank you in advance, Father, that you're giving us the wisdom and the prudence we need, Lord, to walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus, we give you honor and praise, and thank you in advance, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bless that God. Was a good kickoff. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this phone doing all right, or is it causing an echo?
My phone, I don't hear an echo.
Okay. My arm gets frozen to the phone in my hand in 2 hours, so I'm trying a different phone, see if I can leave it on speaker. Thank you so much, Yolanda. Bless you,
sure
bless
thing.
You, bless you. Bless you. That was a great. Thank you, thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. All right. We're off to a good start here. We still need more people to pray, though. We only have 3 more, so don't be shy. Every prayer counts. Amen. Okay. Area code 661. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh.
What's your name, please?
This is Goldie Hayes.
Goldie from Florida.
Hey! Yes, ma'am.
All right. Give us some of that Louisiana accent, too. All right.
Amen.
Do you
want
to pray for our nation or Israel or our future
absolutely.
Or what?
I think our future.
Okay.
Wow, her prayer was so excellent. I'm still in stunned in awe. Praise
God. All right, that was like the
amen to that. That was amazing.
You write a decent sentence to a paper, and it kind of tips you off what the whole paper's about, but now we're going to go in depth, so go ahead.
Yes, indeed. Father God, I thank you for shining your light in the darkness. I thank you for making us those lights that will shine in the darkness, Lord. I thank you that you are the truth, the life, and the way, and to teach us, each person in your body, Lord, each part, each portion, Lord, whichever part we are, draw us all to be connected together like we should be, Lord. Remove all division, all cause for division, Lord, but let us see you, seek you, and follow after you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord, with all we have and with all we are. Help us, each and every one of us, Lord, who are yours, who are called by your name, to hear your voice, Lord, not just to hear your voice, but to obey, Lord. Give us radical obedience, Lord.
Okay.
Give us a heart's desire, Lord, for nothing more than you. Father, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, give us cause to pray in season and out of season. Make us instant in prayer. Lord, make us to turn our whole hearts towards you, our households towards you, our family towards you. Let us not hide ourselves in a closet as if we have something to hide, Lord, but let us be as the lights on the hill. Let us be salt to this earth, Lord, so that people will get healed, flavored, seasoned, Lord, that people will see that we have something that they desire. Lord, the harvest is full and white, Lord, and the workers are few, you said. So, Lord, send workers to the field. And, Lord, make us cause other people to be hungry and thirsty, Lord, just like the salt causes a thirst in us, Lord. Let that thirst. Let us cause that thirst in people so that they thirst after righteousness, so they thirst after truth, so they thirst after the things that you've caused us to thirst after. Father, you said no man can come to you unless you draw them. So, Father, I ask you to start moving, Lord, even now, even more so than you already have been on the hearts of men and women, on the hearts of children, Lord, that they'll be drawn to you in these last days, Lord. It's not your will that any should be lost, Lord. Let our will be as your will, Lord. Let us not be willing that any should be lost. Let us tear down the walls of division. Let us refuse, Lord, to agree with any divisive weapon, Lord, that the enemy would plant in your vineyard and in your garden, Lord. Let us stand up for what's true and for what's right, Lord. Let us think on the things that you say we should even think on, Lord, taking our mind captive to your thoughts, to your mind, Lord. Let us think on good and virtuous and praiseworthy and honorable and of good report, Lord, true things, Lord. Just whatever your word says, Lord, let us line up with your word. Line us up in spirit and in truth, Lord, with your word. Make us true worshipers and true followers, Lord. Give us the boldness, Lord, even to speak as we ought, Lord, and help us not to back down. And, Lord, remove all fear from us, all fear. You didn't give us a spirit of fear. You gave us a spirit of boldness and power and self-discipline, Lord, and a sound mind. Help us to apply that, Lord. Teach us and we shall be taught. Teach us to apply self-discipline, Lord. You said we need to add things to the things that we already have. We need to add to our faith. We need to add to our virtue. We need to add, Lord, help us to do that. Help your whole entire body, Lord, so that nothing is missing and nothing is broken, Lord, but we are whole and an entire and under your headship, Lord, just like you created us to be. Make us that one man that stands up in you, Lord.
Amen.
Just do it, Lord. Just do it in us, do it through us, and do it to us, Lord, so that we can give to you everything that you deserve and everything that you paid for, Lord. And
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. We just thank you, Lord, that you choose to work in us and through us. Oh,
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We're praying for that. For Florida, as the rains and the weather comes in there too, and the whole East Coast, as the whole East Coast may be hit by a combination of two storms again this week, before they can even finish getting all the water out of the Northeast, here comes more storms. But we pray that that coming storm will be dissipated, that what's left of it will go out to sea, that it will not add snow, wind, or water, or anything to what's going on already. And, Lord, you know, of course, everything that we pray, you know, we realize that if you have a plan and purpose in it, that we bow down to that, definitely. But otherwise, Lord, if this is the devil trying to compound situations and make them worse, we command those storms to be dissipated and go out to sea. And we thank you, Lord, for you've answered this prayer.
Yes, indeed.
After decade, we pray that people will be able to vote tomorrow without getting drenched. But even if it is bad where they are, that they will have the fortitude to know that this country is hanging in the balance and every vote matters. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And yours too, Goldie.
Yes, ma'am.
Have a good night. Y'all,
you
please.
Too.
Please call some friends and invite them, pray in people, you know, invite them to call in. Right now we only have one other person we've got other callers, but only one that's pushed number one saying they're willing to pray, so don't leave me to do this all by myself. Come on. Okay, area code 724, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta, it's Lynn.
Hi, Lynn, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for Lynn. Okay, Lynn, what would you like to pray about tonight?
Well, I feel led to pray about reminding the Lord of his covenant for this country, because
right.
He's ever mindful of his covenant according to the word of God. And
okay.
I just pray, Lord, I know that that there's always been tares among the wheat, that I'm aware that even on the first ships that came to our country, that witches came over with the Christians, that came over also, and that the country took a turn later on and was founded on Masonic principles instead of Christian principles. But I just want to remind God of his covenant and that he's a covenant-keeping God. And I just pray that he would lay it on his people's heart in America to remember the covenant that they have with their God, and that they would be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that they would choose righteousness, and that they would take a stand for righteousness, and that they would be lights in this dark age. And I just pray for tomorrow and this evening, Lord, that this evening and tomorrow has not taken you by surprise. And Lord, you already know who is selected to be the President of the United States tomorrow. And I just pray, Lord, that it does not drag on and on like it did with President Bush. I pray that it doesn't drag on and on and on for weeks at a time until we know who's been elected our leader. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would bless our country, Father, even though we're a sinful people. I pray that you would cause the people, this nation, to have a repentant heart, that they would turn back to the covenant. In Jesus' name I pray.
I want to agree with you on that, Lynn, and I want to pray especially for spiritual leaders of all different kinds, that if they've been lukewarm and too people-pleasing or afraid to commit or, just totally intimidated, that whatever happens this week, that they will hear your voice, Lord, that they will see visions, that they will have dreams, and they will know that this country was founded because men of God, although they were many different kinds, they still were willing to step out and to choose to have a country with religious freedom and freedom of speech. And when they said separation of church and state, they didn't mean to weaken the church and to make the government stronger. They meant that the government would be, not stronger than the church. And so I pray tonight in the name of Jesus that spiritual leaders would rise up and be leaders and realize that, like somebody was telling me on Facebook today, it's not that this is a secular nation and that spiritual things are just secondary and that I should realize that they're not that pertinent to what's going on, but that everything is about what we choose to do with God and choose to do with Jesus and the Spirit of God, and that it's not what we think or what a party thinks. It's what does God want that matters, and that ultimately God, is sovereign, and we're going to be seeing more of that shortly, and people are going to realize it really matters if I'm defiant. It really matters if I'm rebellious and stubborn. It really matters if I spit in the face of God. But not out of fear, that they would realize as they watch us that they can have an intimate relationship with God and have the love, the perfect love that they've always wanted. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, I hope you have a good night, Lynn.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate your friendship. I've asked several of my friends to call in. I want friends of this program to call in, born-again believers to call in. And we've got a couple of other callers here. Want more callers to call in, be sure to push number one so I know you're willing to participate. Okay. Area code 361, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Rocky.
Hi, Rocky. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Excited about tomorrow.
Yeah. I guess you don't have a joke for us tonight, do you?
No.
I've got one for you. Don't want to throw off the whole program, but I saw a Maxine joke. It's an old one. But Maxine said if she was running, she could probably reduce expectations by at least 50%.
I bet so.
Okay, back to business. What's God leading you to pray about?
Well, I want to pray for just be led by the Holy Spirit, but a couple of things. One, that God would release the spirit of wisdom You know, he said if we ask, he would give us wisdom and not hold back. And so we need a spirit of wisdom to be released upon America, because there's like a spirit of foolishness. You know, the worldly wisdom, the devilish sensual wisdom is what people are operating in right now. And so we just want to ask God to release his wisdom.
I'm sure he will.
And also, so many people, it's like I remember Dave Ramsey saying one day, he had everybody close their eyes, and he said, I want you all to point to the north. And so then he said, okay, everybody open your eyes, keep pointing. And everybody was pointing in all different directions. And he said, that's why we need to hear from the Spirit.
Whoa.
Because we all think we know. And that's how the spirit of deception works. It comes in and it paints a certain picture, and we begin to form our ideas and actions and our livelihood out of those deceptions. And God wants to break that deception off.
Okay,
and,
break it.
Yeah. So, Father God, I thank you tonight for the Spirit of God that lives and abides within each of us. Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit, Father, that this whole nation will be turned for your glory. And so I thank you tonight, Father, for the authority you've given unto us, Lord, as members and body of Christ, Father God, that we can decree a thing and declare it, Father, and it shall be. And so, Father, tonight I just pray and ask you to release a spirit of wisdom over this nation. Father, we renounce that evil, devilish, sensual wisdom that people have laid hold of and begin to walk in. We renounce that. We even ask you, Father God, to forgive us where we have walked in that type of wisdom, where we have looked and drawn our wisdom from the secular world. Father, we repent tonight and we say, forgive us, O God. And may we look to you for that wisdom that you have, Lord, the only true, the only transparent wisdom, the only wisdom that has no ill motives, O God. And so I'm asking you, Father, tonight, to as we stand in the gap for America and repent on behalf of the body of Christ and those in America that are walking in that worldly wisdom, that devilish, sensual wisdom, Lord, we renounce that tonight. We say no more, no more in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to release now throughout this great nation your wisdom. Father, we have turned and we've looked for our own wisdom. But tonight, Lord, I cry out for your wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
For your wisdom, O God, to be released over every one of us. And, Father, that we would listen for that unction from the Holy One. Lord, that we would listen and sense inside through our discerning of spirits, Father, the direction that we should go, the very words that we should speak. And also, Father, I just break off this deception, Lord, these false images, false ideas, misleading statements, Lord, that have been released, that have motivated people to vote particular ways. I break that spirit of deception off of America tonight.
Thank you.
Lord, I break it off tonight in Jesus' name. I break it off of those, Father God, that even feel like they're doing right, Lord. They think they're doing right. They're in deception, Lord. Lord, bring us back to a spirit of righteousness. Lord, let this not be about sensual things, but bring us back to a spirit of righteousness.
Yes.
Lord, and that we would walk in righteousness in this thing. And so I break deception off for the body of Christ particularly, Lord, because I see many in the body that are walking in deception. But I break that deception off of all. And, Father, I want to release a spirit of hope, a spirit of courage upon America. Father, that we can do this. Father, just instill courage and hope in your people that we can do this. Father, every battle, every victory has a battle. And tonight, Lord, we understand we're going to go through a battle tomorrow and maybe the days to come. There's going to be battles. But, Lord, let us lay hold of the hope that's found in your word. May the body of Christ rise up as one man in the earth, Father God, and begin to speak the same thing and begin to declare the same thing, Father. I ask you, Father, to shake your people. Lord, tonight I'm asking you to speak to your people in dreams and visions. Speak to the lost, Lord. Even as you did in the book of Esther, Father, when the Jews were about to be annihilated, Father, you changed that situation overnight through a dream. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, to begin to instill and stir in the hearts of the American people, Lord, through dreams and visions. Lord, may they wake up in cold sweats, knowing the right way to vote, knowing the right decision to make, knowing the right way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for it, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that no good thing will you withhold from those who walk uprightly.
That's
you
right.
said, Lord Jesus, that anything that we ask in your name, you would do it, that the Father would be glorified. So, Lord, I know tonight that it's your desire to stir your heart back up in the American people, to stir your heart back up in the Christian saints. And so, Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight, Father. We wage war, Lord. We understand that our battle is not with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's not against a particular party. It's not against a particular race. But our battle is against that spirit of Antichrist.
That's right.
Who wants to infiltrate this nation. So we rise up as one man tonight and we say no. We say no to that spirit of Antichrist. And we say you cannot have our nation. You cannot have us, nor can you have our nation. We reclaim it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we link our hearts and our minds up with the nation of Israel tonight. Lord, that we stand with Israel as one man. Lord, speaking blessings over Israel, because, Lord, we know that what we do to and for Israel will be done for us. So, Lord, I thank you tonight. We speak blessings over Israel. We speak protection over Israel. We speak increase over Israel. And we just ask you, Father, that your revelations would be released in the hearts and minds of those people. Father God, that you would just stir in each one of them, that they would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Father, I thank you now. I just release a spirit of life over this nation.
Thank
Lord,
you.
We know that death, that spirit of death wants to come and have a place. But we render death strategies null and void in Jesus' name. Death, you will not come and destroy lives. We render your strategies null and void in Jesus' name. We bind up that spirit of death that wants to come and annihilate. And we plead the blood of Jesus over these people, over the American people. Lord, we just ask you, Father, to shake our hearts and our minds tonight, that we would bring glory to your name and not shame and not disgrace. Work in every one of us, O God. Not one of us know your whole picture. Not one of us know your whole plan, Father. So we yield to you tonight, knowing you are the greatest authority that there is that exists. And we say, Father, even above our own heart's desires, we choose your desire. We choose your heart. We choose your plans. And so, Father, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. We praise you and thank you tonight, Father, that regardless of what takes place, regardless of what we see, we have prayed, and now we commit these things into your hands. We cast every care over on you, resting in full assurance, Father God, that you've got it taken care of. You've got it taken care of. And so we trust you now, Father, with these things. We praise you and thank you that we can run to the altar. We can run to the throne of grace and receive help in a time of trouble.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just thank you that you have made yourself accessible to us 24/7. And, Father, for those that are out there that maybe haven't prepared, I ask you for the famine, I ask you to stir faith in their heart, Lord, that if they've got one bottle of oil, Lord, that they can speak to that bottle and it'll continue to multiply. Father, if they've only got a few cans of beans, that they can speak to those beans and they'll multiply. I just ask you, Father, for a supernatural faith to arise in your people in this day, in this hour, that they would be able to speak to those situations, or that even as Jesus blessed the fish and multiplied it, Father, that we would operate in that same kind of faith in this season.
Okay.
And so, Lord, I thank you for these things.
Amen.
I thank you. And give you all the glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rocky. I'm just hearing that there are a lot of Sauls out there that haven't even got a clue. They're going to have a Damascus Road experience very shortly. They're going to become Pauls. And I'm just calling forth the people, the prophetic anointing and that mentoring and the healing anointing that will minister to those Sauls and cause their eyes to open and help prepare them and mentor them. And that part of this great harvest is lots of people to disciple. And I'm Bill Bright used to say we could win the whole world in 32 years if we would all just disciple one person effectively a year, and then they discipled one. And I say that even though the population has what then, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you are in the business of making disciples and that we will not be overwhelmed with the events that are about to come. We won't go into fear and panic, that we won't begin to doubt you, but we will rise up in greater faith. We will allow these trials and tests to prove us, to give us that perseverance and the determination that the Bible talks about, and that we will have more compassion for others, be less self-centered, and have more compassion for others to make disciples. And we will have your wisdom, and we will walk in righteousness, and that we will still be able to have concern not only for others but other countries and lift up Israel as well as other places and see that third great awakening that the Bible alludes to, that we will see that happen, we'll be a part of it, and we won't just be waiting to escape, hallelujah, but we will be a part of that great awakening. It'll be a light in the midst of the darkness. Amen. Okay, need some more people to call in. Push that number one and let me know you're willing and able to pray. Okay, thank you. Area code 410, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Val from Maryland.
Hey, Valerie. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. What would you like to pray tonight?
Well, I would like to pray. I'm from the state of Maryland, and I was thinking of a prophetic word that Chuck Pierce had given to our state, that the Lord was going to awaken the seed and open up the womb of our nation. And Maryland is like a womb around Washington, D.C. D.C. lies right basically in the middle of Maryland. And so I just want to pray that the Lord will indeed awaken the seed and open up the womb of our nation, but experience birth and revival is what we're wanting. We're wanting God to really revive our nation and turn our nation back to him.
Amen. Go, girl.
Okay. And, Father, I just praise you, Lord God, and I just thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that this nation, Lord God, was birthed, Father, by you, Father. And, Lord God, we just call forth, Father, the prophetic word. Father, we come into agreement, Lord God, with your word, Lord God, that, Lord God, that we, Lord God, as the state of Maryland, surround Washington, D.C., Father, and, Father, that you are going to awaken the seed, Father, and open up the womb, Lord God. And, Father, we want your purposes and your plans brought forth for our nation, Lord God. And so, Father, tonight we join together in prayer, and we're asking, Lord God, that you will awaken the seed of our nation, Lord God. Lord God, that you would bring to birth that you have here in our nation, Lord God, and that you would open up the womb, Lord God. That, Lord God, that we won't abort that, Lord God, that you want to bring forth for our nation, Lord God. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your word also said to us, Lord God, as a state, Father, that the captain of the Lord of hosts is in our state, Lord God. And so, Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that the captain of the Lord of hosts will stand ready, Father, that, Lord God, that he, Lord God, is captain of the armies of heaven, Lord God. And, Father, we pray and ask, Lord God, even now that you would dispatch angels, Father, all across this nation, Father. Father, we ask, Lord God, for your blood covering and for your protection, Lord God, all across our nation, Lord God. Father, we just pray, Father, and come into agreement even with the word that Chuck Pierce released in Baltimore, Lord God, that, Lord God, that there will be restorations, Lord God, of covenant alignment coming into the pulpits all across this land. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord God. Lord God, we are your people, Father, and that we as your people will come into covenant with you, Father. Lord God, we ask, Lord God, forgiveness, Lord God, for broken covenants, Father.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, ask, Lord God, your bride, Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would forgive us as your bride for breaking covenant with you, Lord God. We ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord God, that, Lord God, you would help us, Lord God, to keep our covenant, Lord God, of love with you, Lord God, that we won't chase after other lovers, Lord God, as your church, but, Lord God, we would come into covenant with you, Lord God. And, Father, we just pray tonight, Lord God, for Israel as well, Lord God. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord God. Your word says, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within the walls and prosperity within the palaces. For the sake of our brethren, Lord God, we pray for peace, Father. And we pray, Father, that, Lord God, we as the United States will continue, Lord God, to be in friendship, Father, and in covenant with Israel, Father. That, Lord God, that we will stand beside Israel, Father. And that, Lord God, we will align, Lord God, with your word, Father. Help us as a nation to align with you and to align with the word of God, Lord God. Father, we pray, Lord God, tonight, Lord God, that you, Lord God, would give us as a nation mercy, Father, that we as your people called by your name, Lord God, we humble ourselves, Lord God, and we pray, Father, and we seek your face, Lord God. And, Father, we as a nation, Lord God, we stand on behalf of our nation, Lord God, and we turn from our wicked ways, Lord God. Father, your word has promised that you will hear from heaven. And, Father, that you will forgive our sins, Lord, and that you will heal our land, Lord God. And, Father, we cry out, Lord God, that you will heal our land, Father, from, Lord God, from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, Lord. We pray and we cry out, Lord God, heal our land, Father. Lord God, that you would turn the hearts of the fathers, Lord God, to the children. And that you turn the hearts of the children, Lord God, to the fathers, Lord God. And, Father, that curse, Father, would be broken, Lord, from off of our land, Father. Lord God, we praise you. And, God, we thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayers for our nation, Lord God. Father, we ask, Lord God, for a birthing, Lord God, of revival, Father. And that it would start, Lord God, from the womb of our nation, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Woo-hoo. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, that we would be true to you, Lord, aligned with you, in agreement with you, no matter what's next. Because we know that you have our best interest at heart, and you're just setting the stage or letting things happen in some cases. Letting things happen so that we can be the witnesses that we've always wanted to be. We can see the harvest that we've believed for years. And we thank you, Lord, for the third great awakening that's coming.
Yes.
That the seed will awaken and multiply. That we can take the land that we were created to be, not only occupiers and escapers, but that we were created to seize and occupy and to multiply and to possess the land and establish your kingdom.
Yeah.
And we're just going to get more and more clarity, I know, as these weeks go on. And we're going to learn how to have compassion for one another and how to be there for other people and get out of our self-centered lifestyle. It'll do us good. It'll do us a lot of good.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We accept, we believe, we receive the wisdom to know what our part is in it all.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, each one of us, you, Lord. Wow. I'm going to enjoy listening to this program.
Yes. Encouraging. Yes, praying.
Encouraging. I want to encourage you all to call in to 917-388-4683 and also to push that number 1 if you're willing to pray, because we have callers, but we're out of people that want to pray, and that's our purpose tonight.
I know some of you wanted us to pray for you, but surely I think we've got some more callers here that can push that number one and pray for our country. It is like so, so urgent.
Yes. Ma'am.
Just so urgent. Valerie, are you all still recovering from the storm, or are you okay?
We're doing great. Our part of Maryland, we did not get the flooding that those that are closer to the water got. Just certain areas where they're closer to the water, like down in Crisfield, Maryland, because they're right on the water. They got quite a bit of water in Ocean City, Maryland, which is right on the Atlantic Ocean. They got quite a bit of water with the beaches and everything, getting really hit with the storm. So,
yeah, I heard the bay and the ocean became one water, that there wasn't even a division anymore.
Exactly.
Mm. Well, I feel for everybody over there. I've been through a lot of hurricanes, but nothing like this.
Yes.
Nothing like this.
Yes. Yes, and we've been doing a lot of praying. Actually, we've had a lot of people praying all up and down the Chesapeake Bay, all up and down the East Coast. So there's been a lot of prayer that's been going on up and down the East Coast, you know, with the storms, you know, coming, yep, that we've been hearing.
Mm-mm-mm. Thank you so much. I hope you all will call a praying friend and ask them to call in and pray, because surely we have more than an hour's worth of prayers we can do here tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Have a good night, Valerie.
You too. God bless.
Okay. I have some more callers, but nobody's pushed number one, so please do when you're ready. I thought I'd go ahead and make a few scripture declarations. But in line with some of the things that have already been prayed tonight, remember, we can pray loosing and binding prayers for our nation, for Israel, for events, circumstances, for people. And as long as the things that we bind them to, see, in the Greek, the loosing and binding in that context, you know how the English language is bad about having the same word mean more than one thing? But in that context, like in Matthew 16, the keys to the kingdom, the loosing there is to destroy or lacerate. So you loose people from the bad things and you bind them to the good things in this particular verse. And so in the name of Jesus, we can always loose them from things that we know are not the will of God, or even our whole country from things that we know are not the will of God. And we can bind our country and individuals to things that we know. We don't want to get into witchcraft prayers and be praying things that are beyond what we know, what's in the Word of God. And, you know, even as prophets and prophetic people, we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle. I don't know everything, but some things God tells me over and over and over, so I know those are true, because he won't let me forget it, and then I don't let you forget it, right? But in the name of Jesus, we receive the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, Lord. We receive our commission to loose our nation from everything that's not godly, from all the moral corruption, the government corruption. We loose our nation from all the confusion, the seduction, the delusion, the deception that it's in. We bind our nation to the kingdom of God being established on earth. We bind our leaders to having God dreams and visions, and they will know that they've had real encounters with the one true God. And I would say, in the name of Jesus, we can also call forth Christian leaders to run for offices. The most frustrating thing that I think I've heard people mention is that we don't have a for sure, strong, born-again, evangelical, spirit-filled person for most offices that's even running. And so I believe that the spirits of muted passivity have really gotten into the church to such a degree that people that are called to ministry, they think of other things. But what about leading our nation so we don't find ourselves in the situation that we're in today? And I've said enough on that, I guess. But we want to be loosed Lord. In the name of Jesus, we loose ourselves, all the voters, our leaders, everybody, from mindsets that are not godly. In the name of Jesus, we bind ourselves and them to God's power, God's truth, and God's values. So much is already clear in the Bible. There's already precedents in the Bible. It just amazes me that people have questions about what God's will is, because the Bible is so clear on most of the things that we're concerned about today. And then in Romans, it talks about whether we're walking after the Spirit or after the flesh. And in the name of Jesus, we just all come together to say that the body of Christ, who's going to be voting tomorrow and responding to the results of the election, will we loose us from fleshly reactions, has already been prayed, and we bind all of us to walking in the Spirit. And we're going to be tested. I'm just absolutely sure of that. You know, we're going to be tested this week. And I've even gone so far as to encourage people, if you haven't bought your fresh groceries and the perishables, to get them tomorrow, because I believe that some people are going to just be rioting. They're just going to be so mad that they didn't get their own way on this. And you might say, well, you just contradicted your own prayer. Well, we can keep praying loosing and binding prayers and loose them from sinful reactions and bind them to the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, to God's will, way, and timing. But we can also practice wisdom, and I think that's where some Christians fall short. They don't practice wisdom at the same time. We need to practice wisdom, and you know, if you could just kind of have a quiet week and stay off the street, it might be a good thing. Then again, if you're a brave evangelist, God may want you right out there, so just be Spirit-led. And I just speak forth that out of the division, even amidst the division that the enemy is trying to bring forth, that he wants our nation to be divided. Some people have even been talking about potential civil war over this and all that. That out of the enemy's attempts to cause division, that Christians will come to life and wake up and realize the importance that we need to be speaking, that all the body of Christ, at least, will be one with Christ, that we will know that oneness, even as Jesus has with the Father, that he prayed. That's his prayer. In John 17, that's his prayer for us, that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one, and that we will understand that it's time not to be lukewarm. It's time to let go of our passivity, to repent of being muted and not being God's voice to others, and to feed, to speak harmony and unity, and that this nation can pull together, that we'll wake up and realize what we need to repent of instead of pulling together like the Tower of Babel to come against God and to be more fleshly and sinful than ever, that we will pull together realizing we need a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost repentance revival. And there isn't any man that can bail us out of this mess that we've made. We've made a mess. We've been working on it for decades, and we've been building it, and we've been overspending, and we fuss and fuss and fuss that the government is overspending, but how many Americans are overspending, or we wouldn't be in this mess? Another thing that I found very interesting, because I have a background as a mental health nurse, I always understand why do people, I want to understand why people think the way they think. Why do they make the choices they make? And it has just baffled me, some of the choices people have made, and some of the people that they've selected to be their leaders when they have a long history of corruption or whatever. And I'm not pointing any one person, I'm pointing at a whole lot of them. And so I posted on my Facebook this in-depth analysis that this psychiatrist did, and he said that Americans, now he's not from the United States, and he looks upon it, he said, why Americans keep voting for leaders that aren't humble? They're narcissists. And so I thought, rather than go into a discussion on that and appear to be taking sides, that I thought we could pray tonight that people that God is calling to to be raised up to be leaders in our nation, whether it's in government or business or whatever, that, you know, he wants them to become outstanding leaders. And maybe they're hanging back in a false humility or too proud or too materialistic or whatever. But the people that God knows that he can trust to be humble, because it says God promotes the humble. I just call forth those men and women that God would raise up as humble leaders, servant leaders of our country, that hopefully will see the need to pray this and will begin to be in agreement not only with God but each other, will declare and decree his will and support those that have the ability to lead our nation, and that next time around we'll have way, way better choices than we have now. But we can also pray for those that are elected tomorrow, like I said, that they'll have God dreams and visions, real encounters. If they have any confusion about who Jesus is and how to make Jesus Lord of their life and how to be Spirit-led, that they will know that they know that they know that they have met the living God, and that they will know that they can depend on the Holy Spirit to lead them. And they will know that they know that they're chosen or sent or they've been appointed, that they'll even go from a place where they're, you know, just trying to please the people or whatever they do, trying to be popular. They'll go to a place where they'll know that they are called to be a voice of God, and that they can enjoy and be empowered by God's power. And we thank you, Lord. And also, I loose them from the fear, intimidation. I shut the mouths of the people that say that Christians shouldn't be in politics. I shut the mouths of the people that say that Christians shouldn't get involved, because this country was founded by a bunch of founders that over half of them were seminary graduates. And while they all might have, you know, some of them been in masonry and other things too, at least they wanted religious freedom. And I thank you, Lord, that we have some people to vote for that care about religious freedom. And I don't want to wind up under Sharia law. And I'm going to say this again, too. We need to be loving on Muslims, too. I mentioned homosexuals at the beginning of the program because I love them, man. I've had some really dear friends that were homosexual, that were bisexual, I mean, really close friends. And they're just so precious. God just loves them all. But he wants us to reach out to these Muslims. And they are one dedicated people. I tell you, they're having 8 children to our 2. And what they understand is they can, as a peaceful people, take over every country in the world. And they're well on their way to doing it. Do you realize if what I'm saying is true, that they have 8 children and we have 2, how many years it takes for them to take over? And guess who'll be the majority vote? Guess who will be coerced, even if they're peaceful themselves? Their leaders will coerce them to go along with Sharia law, and we'll all be under it because we'll be outvoted. So we need to really pray about that, too. We need to be witnessing to Muslim people and show them God's forgiveness, because they just marvel at it when they hear it. They don't have that kind of forgiveness in Islam, and they want to know more about it. They want to know more about God's love. And we need to practice what we preach and be the witnesses that we're called to be, fulfilling the Great Commission. Hallelujah. Now, see, I'm just going to have to keep preaching if you all won't push that number one and help me. Need somebody here to push that number one and help me? Or if you have already prayed, you might have to pray again. Hallelujah. If you want to pray again, just push the one so that the flag will go off, and then push it again, and maybe I'll see that, and we'll let you pray again. Well, this is part of what we really need to turn our country around. We need to be able to get together and pray like this and it not be all one person, you know? I have really, really enjoyed hearing your prayers. Hallelujah. Okay. I would just want to loose us from any possibility of a loser mentality or a defeated mentality or a victim mentality in the coming days. And I want to bind us in Jesus' name to be in overcomers, to knowing that we are strong in the Lord, no matter how our material situation or our bank account or anything else looks over the next year or two, that we will know that we're complete in Christ. We're more than sufficient in Him. Hallelujah. And I just want to loose us in Jesus' name from feeling weak and bind us to the strength of the Lord. You said, Lord, that your Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament and the New Testament mightily, and that these will be the days that we were born for, that we were chosen to live in these days. And I want to loose us from any kind of doubt and unbelief and bind us to your anointing, and that we will know more and more and more that we are your ambassadors, that we're sold out to your agenda, that we're not competing for anything, we're not comparing ourselves, we're not incomplete, but we are anointed. And that we know that the anointing breaks the yoke, and in no way will we feel like the devil has gotten the upper hand. Because, God, we know that you're sovereign, you're all-powerful, you're everywhere at once, you're all-knowing. And whatever you allow to happen this week, that we will press in, we will rejoice in trial and tribulation, or we'll rejoice in just all victory. You know, whatever you hand us, that we will use those situations, circumstances that come about to stand ever stronger, steadfast in the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, I need help here. Who's going to pray? Push number one. Anyone else want to pray again? Pastor Rocky, have you got anything else you'd like to pray about? Uh-oh.
Can you hear me, Carolina?
I sure can. Are you still on the line?
Give me about 5 minutes. I'm actually on the rail right now. I've got to hop off down here, and then I'll talk to you.
Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. I tell you, if Yolanda wants to call in again, that was a great introduction. I know that you could add to it, too. Feel free to call in again. Push that number one. I love to pray scripture because I know that when we pray scripture, the angels are empowered by it. They're released. I say I loose the Christian church from mediocrity, for settling, for just keeping their own nose clean. I loose them from the attitude, like one lady, I said, you know, we're called to fulfill the Great Commission, and we haven't done it yet. She said, oh, no. She said, I'm just responsible for me and my household, and we're all saved, and I'm done. I went, whoa. Well, I loose us from mediocrity, from just caring about me and mine, and bind us to a kingly anointing, a kingly and priestly anointing, that we are made to walk in our spiritual power and authority, and that's not to lord it over people. We are servant leaders, but there's still an authority there that every demon has to bow to the name of Jesus. There's still that spiritual power there to speak things forth, the invisible into the visible, that we will own your plan and purpose, that we will own the vision you have given each one of us, that we'll own the sphere of influence that you have given us. So whether we're in education, whether we're in music, you know, whether we're in business or farming or whatever we're doing, that we will do it with all our might, in excellence, and that we'll be a glory to your name, just a glory to your name, knowing that there are people around us, no matter what we do, there are people around us that are affected. They're encouraged or discouraged. We thank you, Lord, that whatever we do, we can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing too big or too small. Hallelujah. So we just loose ourselves in the name of Jesus from worldliness, from being entangled in this world, from being more concerned about material things or hobbies or our lifestyle. Then we are actually the kingdom of God. And we can look at our budgets and we can look at our calendars and we can see, are we really seeking the kingdom first? Hallelujah. I'm preaching now. Are we really seeking the kingdom first?
Or is our greatest concern, or some people, I know some people are this way because they've told me, the reason they're voting the way they're voting is they don't want to lose their lifestyle. They realize that they're voting against God's values, but they don't want to lose their lifestyle. And it's a circular conversation. It keeps going back to that. And, Lord, I say that we just speak repentance over this nation that has idolized its lifestyle and will vote against all the Ten Commandments just to keep the lifestyle. Help us, Lord. Well, you are. You're letting things happen. You're letting pressure come to bear. And I know that you won't pressure us. You won't tempt us. You know, you won't let more than we can handle come into our path. But you will bring us to our knees. And the results will be good. We thank you, Lord. I loose us from slumbering or a captive spirit or blindness or being deaf in the spirit and not being able to hear the Spirit of God. And I bind us to expectant prayer, that we will come to you, that we will listen, that we will journal, we will expect an intimate relationship with you. We will expect to know your plans and purposes for us each day, and that we will be a demonstration of that communion with God that we were designed to have. I loose us from just holding on to a party line or a religion or a tradition or anything that is a substitute for a live relationship with the Holy Spirit. I call in a great awakening where we honor the Holy Ghost, where there's true repentance, not just remorse. You know, it's inconvenient to us that we've gotten our country into this shape. And I call us into true repentance, that we will be acutely aware of the conviction of the Holy Ghost, where each one of us needs to really line up in covenant agreement with you, God. And I loose us from also expecting the worst. It sounds like maybe I am, but I'm not. I've heard God say, I'm going to let some things happen. There are going to be things that happen on U.S. soil because we need some chastising. We really do. And so, Lord, I just say in the name of Jesus, I loose us from a fear where we'd be agreeing with the devil that will experience lack or loss or hardship or persecution, but I bind us to a level of commitment that even when our dollar loses value just like everybody else's dollar, or if banks have more trouble or homes lose more value, or, you know, basically our idols are touched, that we will be committed to you, Lord, no matter what, just committed to you and willing to be your witnesses no matter what the cost, that we will love our lives not unto death, that we'll have a ready testimony to give. I encourage everyone to write out like a one-minute testimony that a lot of people can relate to, that's not just about you, and a three-minute testimony if you have more time. And be ready. And when you do that, God will give you opportunities. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. All right. Let me see if this is Yolanda on the line again. Are you back?
It is. It's me.
Hey, you
I'm
got
back.
More to pray?
Well, Scott, I'm always happy to pray.
Okay, go girl.
God is faithful. He's faithful. Let me just tell you this little bit of a testimony because I think it speaks to what we're believing God for now. During
right.
the storm, well, before the storm, my family and I, we went out and we anointed our property. And we anointed the trees on our property. We had these huge old oaks. And we anointed the gates and the whole survey of our land.
Mm.
And storm came. And I'd exaggerate not. When I tell you there was devastation all up and down my street and all through Bethlehem, my neighbor lost a roof. The other neighbor lost most of the siding. The oak in front of their house fell and damaged their property. They was just recently, as a matter of fact, today, finished cutting up the tree. Well, I went out the next morning, and I stepped outside, and all the neighbors were outside at 7 o'clock in the morning. And since I stepped outside, it says, you're the only one on the entire block who doesn't have any damage.
Okay.
And I began to witness to them about the goodness of God.
All right.
I believe that we have to, as the body of Christ, begin to just walk in God's word, regardless of how we feel about it, and stand on his promises so that we can see his will come to pass in this time and in this season. And I believe we have to start doing that even when it comes to the presidential race and every other issue in our government and even in our local legislation. We have to stand up as believers and trust God will do what he promises he'll do. And so I'm just excited about what God does when we just stand on his word, regardless of how we feel about it, and we walk in that. So, Lord, I'm just speaking to you right now to just minister to the people of God, to just have faith to stand on your word no matter what they feel, Father, because you're not a God of feeling. His feelings are in the flesh realm, and they can deceive us. But, Father, today in the name of Jesus, we just break every spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, we loose it from this assignment against the body of Christ, and we bind ourselves, Father, to your love. We bind ourselves, Father God, to your peace and your joy, Father. For you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. So we release the love and the power and the sound mind of God over the people of God, that they might stand, having done all to stand, even in this last and evil day, Father. We speak even now that regardless of what our choice may have been in the back of our heads based on our comfort level, that we will stand up in faith by the anointing and vote according to the word of God's standards. And even now in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak to those who have made up their mind and dug in their heels, Father, who said, I'm going to vote for this candidate no matter what, regardless of whether they know that this lines up with the word of God. I speak even now that you would convict their hearts, Lord, and move by your spirit upon them, Father, that they might submit themselves to you, Father. And Lord, we as the body of Christ need to learn to submit to you. So help us, Lord, even in this situation, to submit to you, Lord, so that it would be you who are being the head of the body rather than us, and that we would be the members of that body so that you can make your decisions, Father, and we could carry them out according to your promise. We thank you, Father. I pray that, Lord, you might give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, Father. We need to know you, Father. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our eyes of understanding might be enlightened, that we may know what it is, that hope of our calling in you is, Father, not only as individuals but as a nation who will stand in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that we may know what are the riches of your glory, God, and of your inheritance in the saints, and that we might experience that exceeding greatness, Father, of your power toward us who believe. And, Lord, that's what our testimonies are about today, that we would see your power if we would believe, Father. So we're calling forth your power, Father God, from heaven into earth, as your word tells us to. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We bring it forth in the name of Jesus, according to your mighty power that works in us, Father. We thank you, God, that you've placed your people in Christ Jesus far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. We thank you, Father God, that we take our rightful place in the kingdom, Lord God, right here in the earth, Father, that we stand up as ambassadors for Christ in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to truly be ambassadors for your kingdom, not just when it comes down to our vote, but when it comes to our witness in our lives, Father, when it comes to our agreement with the other nations, Father, our agreement with Israel, Lord, and with your word, Father God, that we might line up, O God, and become succinct with what your heart is, Father, which is your word. We thank you, Father, and invite that spirit of renewal, Father God, refreshment, the fire of God into our lives to burn up the dross, Lord God, that we might begin to reflect you all the more. Father, I sense in my spirit today that we're experiencing a great divide, even amongst people who call themselves believers. And I just see it, Lord, where we've carried the label forever, but we're coming to a point in life where we have to make a decision when it comes to this fork. And I pray, Lord God, for those who are at the fork of the road, in the name of Jesus, Father God, that the fire of God might begin to work in their lives in the name of Jesus, and all hesitancy, Father God, and that foot that's been between both doors, Father God, will find correct footing in the name of Jesus, Father.
Amen.
That they might begin to make right choices according to your will, Father. Lord, for you empower us to make right choices. And we thank you in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you're empowering your people to make godly decisions. So, Lord God, we begin to see sobriety even amongst the body of Christ in Jesus' name. I pray for those, oh God, who have come in the midst of the body who are charlatans, Father God, to be exposed. Lord God, that their works would no longer have place in us so that we would be dumbed down and be like the scripture called the silly women, Father. I pray today that you would give us a heart that will seek after you so that we can be a witness to our nation and a witness to the other nations, God, and that even in this election, your will would show up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, stoke the fires of your kingdom in our lives. And I speak that we as the people of God are the head and not the tail. I speak that we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. I speak that we have a hunger and a zeal for the house of God and his will. And I thank you, Father, that we put our flesh up under and we begin to obey your word as you've called us to obey it. We thank you in advance, Father, for this paradigm shift we will all experience. We thank you in advance, Father, that as we begin to obey you in the little things, we'll see great fruit, Father. Now, we bless you in advance for how you will transform our lives and our families and, Lord, our nation, even our local governments, as we obey your word, the word we know. We give you glory and honor and praise in advance, Father, for all you will do and how you do it. We bless you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Woo-hoo. Thank you. Yes, Lord, we agree. We agree
amen.
That
amen.
This is about two kingdoms clashing. This
yes.
isn't about just two platforms or two different religions. Or two different types of, you know, congressmen or representatives or presidents. This is about two kingdoms clashing. And we're not ready for the New World Order to take over, Lord. We want to make a stand, and we have to take that stand step by step, kind of like bite by bite. We have to stand on individual issues. We have to quit giving the truth away and quit betraying the truth. Quit betraying God's values and say, we stand in Christ. We stand for truth. We stand for God's values and rise up, because I believe that believers in this country could be the majority, could be the majority. And I just come against that people pleasing that so many Christians are saying, I'm not going to say a word about anything. It's a private matter. Well, I can see, Lord, why you might let us go through a lot in the next few years, because we need to realize that our job is, like Jesus said, he came not only to give us life and life abundantly, but to destroy the works of the enemy. And part of our calling is to not only deliver people from demons, but to do that, you have to take a stand against the enemy. We need to take a stand against the very policies that we can see that are leading to Satan's Antichrist world order, that we can't just do it the last day when he says, you know, vote for the Antichrist or vote for somebody else. We've got to take stands now and quit being like frogs that are in water that's gradually coming to a boil. We need to be true. And, Lord, you just keep giving me scriptures about betrayal, like when Peter said, oh, I would never betray. I would never. And he was just sure it was somebody else, and it was him, because it's the little things.
Love Talk Radio.
Whoops. Somebody's got their computer on. You just have to mute the computer or close the another program page if that's what it is. But the Lord has been telling me, you know, when that little maid said, oh, I saw you, you were with him. Just that little bitty thing. But see, it was connected to a fear that he had that whatever's going to happen to Jesus might happen to me too. I'm sure that's what went through his mind.
Wow.
You know, am I willing to drink of the cup of his suffering? And it took Peter a few days to realize, yes, I am. And he did. And he refused to be crucified right side up. He was crucified upside down. And most of the apostles endured severe persecution, and they knew it was worth it. And I pray that we will come forth with that kind of fiber, that we won't be in the body of Christ just when it feels good or what it does for us, but there's that mentality. And I think that is the sacred cow that is right up to the altar in this election, is people want to keep their lifestyle no matter what they have to betray, what they have to deny, and they're waffling. They're waffling, and they're mad at other people when they don't waffle.
Lord have mercy.
And so, Lord, I just call forth the remnant. Call forth the true born-again believers. Call forth the body of Christ, that we will stand for at least the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
We'll at least be pro-Israel, pro-life. And because people, you've got to realize that if you don't protect the unborn, who's, you know, where are they going to draw the line? If life isn't important at that age, what about euthanasia and all? Because there are, you know, there's legislation out there now that is becoming that screening out process. If you're not in good enough health, we're just not going to take care of you. We're going to let you go.
Amen. That's right.
It's out there now. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding people. I know some of you think I'm sensational or I'm drama queen, but when I go in for a broken arm, and I have been in physical therapy already for 4 or 5 months because my arm was, like, really totaled. My hand and fingers wouldn't work or anything. Thank God for this wonderful Christian physical therapy. But they all of a sudden, they gave me a new form last month, and it was all about heart disease and respiratory. And I, having been an admission nurse at a hospital in Atlanta, big hospital, I'm familiar with what the criteria is. You know, in order for your insurance company to pay for you to be treated for a thing and to continue to be treated for it, then you have to continue to show progress, need progress. Well, what's this new questionnaire that's asking me if I've got heart disease or lung disease? And so I knew what that was in a flash, and I just said to them, so if a person with a broken arm already has heart disease or lung disease, does that affect their treatment? Are you going to do less? What's this about? And they say, oh, your insurance company is requiring it. And I go, I know who's requiring it. They make their money off of people needing care, you know. They don't want to rule everybody out. I know who's requiring it. And you do not realize that when you vote for something that's going to require you to be chipped, how close...
Amen.
How close you are to saying, I'm voting for 666. I'm voting for the mark of the beast. And it's serious, folks. You can try to minimize it. You can try to say, oh, they just want to know, you know, that I'm healthy and they want to be able to, yeah, right. We never needed to be chipped in the forehead and hand to do that before. Believe me, they know everything about you already. They've already got it in surveillance. They've got a minimum 2-year surveillance on everybody. And so I'm serious as usual. I'm serious. I'm saying what you vote for tomorrow, God will take seriously. Are you voting in line with the Word of God and His values and His truth? Are you willing to be a true witness? And I don't know every candidate that's up there, and I don't know especially who's up in your state and your county and all that. I'm just saying this is the plumb line. God will be saying,
Amen.
Did you agree with me? Were you a witness of my word? Or did you choose another agenda? And it almost doesn't even matter what other agenda it is if you're not going to agree with God. And so if we want to be under God's fountain of blessing, we already did a program on that. If you want to be under God's fountain of blessing, you've got to let the Holy Spirit convict you of the ways that you're violating His financial principles or that you have, and renounce it and repent it and get in line. Because it's too long that we've been playing church and not being really lined up with God. And besides that, you don't enjoy that wonderful communion with God and intimacy that you can if you're just playing church. So this is reckoning time.
Amen.
I have never felt this way so strongly at any election before. We're at a turning point.
Amen.
And it's not just what we do as a whole, what goes through the Electoral College and all that. We're at a turning point. And I believe what I'm saying tonight isn't about an election. It won't be outdated tomorrow night. It's every week from now on. Were my colors clear? Did I let the devil's side, whoever that is, and whatever situation, did I let them shut me down? Did I back down? Or was I a voice for God? Mm-hmm. Was I his voice? Was I a demonstration of his power? Was I an expression of his heart for people, no matter what the cost? And so we have a magnificent, unmeasurable opportunity in these last days. We've been chosen, guys. It's mind-boggling. We have been chosen to be alive in these last days. You know what that tells me? That tells me that everybody that's listening to this, whether it's tonight or a download in the future, that tells me that God knows, it's kind of a soulish way to say it, that you've got the true grit. You may think you're a Gideon, that you're afraid, that you're hiding, and you're saying, not me, Lord, you know, I'd need like 300,000 people with me to make this stand, and don't get me down to 300 like you did Gideon. Don't get me down to 3. Don't make me stand alone. Mm. But I believe that God knows, and he made serious choices about who he called to be in these end times. And if we'll give him our weaknesses tonight and say, Lord, you know, I can really, try to hide in the gray areas and all. But see, guys, there's not going to be any gray areas very soon. It's going to be black and white. You're either going to be that stand-up Christian that speaks the word of God and lines up with God no matter what the cost, or, you can be, I don't know if I can say this on the air. Forgive me if there's anything wrong with saying this, okay? But in the South, we would say, you can be mealy mouth if that's who you want to be. Just mushy, not really saying anything, talking a lot maybe, but not saying anything. You can be, I don't know if I should say that phrase. But anyway, we'll say wimpy. You can be a wimpy Christian, but you're not going to be able to enjoy these last days like God. I mean, God wants you to feel the power of God going through you. He wants you to know the thrill of taking that stand. And, Paul considered it an opportunity when he was arrested. I'm sorry, guys, but this is going to be, closer to being real than you think.
Amen.
He considered an opportunity because when he was arrested, he got to speak to the higher-ups. And many times, if you read those, you'll see where he says, before you take me in and lock me up, can I speak to the people? And he starts preaching. And you think, well, he's sealing his fate right there. Well, he didn't care, see, because he was really sold out to being an ambassador.
Amen.
And when people would question him, which is absolutely amazing to me that anybody could have the unmitigated gall to question Paul as committed as he was, and they questioned him and they said, what right do you have to call yourself an apostle over us? And you know how people are, they do that. And what did he say? He said, now I'm speaking like a fool. But he said, it's not about all my education. It's not about, the positions that I had and that I was chosen to be one of the ones that would seek out these Christians and kill. It's not about any of that. It's not about my Roman citizenship or my heritage as a Jew. It's that I have suffered willingly, that I was willing to be stoned and go straight back and love on the same people within 48 hours. I was shipwrecked. I was left for dead, cold and naked, thrown out of town more times than I can count, imprisoned, cold, dark, starving. But he would go right back, sometimes to the very same part of town, and share the love of God with them again. And maybe by the time he was older, he was bent over and kind of beat up looking. You think that bothers Jesus? I don't think so. I think it's like Stephen. Stephen's career didn't last that long, but he took a strong stand, and he looked them in the eye and said, you are the ones. You crucified him. And, Jesus stood up in heaven for Stephen. And he let Stephen see it before he died. He was standing for him. And I'm telling you guys, we're going to have opportunities to take steps. I remember when a friend of mine, sweet southern girl, she prayed for boldness. And boy, did she get it.
Boy, did she get it. If you pray for boldness, don't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will give you such a love and a passion for him, such a love and such a passion, that you will be able to stand steadfast, anchored in the Lord, and you will be able to be that person that Jesus can trust to make the message clear, to preach the true gospel, not out of legalism, you know, not out of some, Paul said, well, I'm glad if they preach even if it's out of competition. But there's just too much of that already. There's too many preachers that it's obvious they're just growing a big church. They're just saying what people want to hear. And while it is encouraging, and that's nice, it sure beats people that are always beating you up. I thank you, Lord, that you are filling us with your truth, that as we seek you with all of our hearts and seek to put your kingdom first, that you do give us all things. I'm thankful for that. But I'm thankful that you are raising up warriors that will really, just really, their colors will be clear, that you can depend on us, that we won't be ambassadors that secretly have our own agenda, but we'll be those that you can count on, that we will be true to you no matter what, just true to you. I just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you're working those things in us. You're working out the areas that are weak. In fact, tonight I think I might just read that prayer because it's such an inspiration to me. There's a couple of prayers I want to read you. If anybody else wants to pray, now this is the minute to go ahead and push number one and let me know. Otherwise, I'm going to hit you with a couple of very compelling prayers here. One is from an African pastor that I wish I could have met that was martyred, and these papers were found among his papers in his little hut in Zimbabwe after he was martyred. And he said, well, let me pray that I can do this without crying. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. And I am done with finished with low living, silent, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by his patience, lifted by prayer and labor by the Holy Spirit. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road may be narrow and my way may be rough, my companions few. Oh, great. There goes that cursor on that computer. Right at the height of this. But my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. I must give till I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he'll have no problems recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Now, what I would like you to agree with me for is to speak over every born-again believer in this nation that they will have this kind of fiber. this kind of fiber. I mean, some people are afraid to go and vote tomorrow because somebody might ask them who they voted for, and they can't vote for who God wants them to vote for because they got to please people. Lord, help us. Loose us from that, Lord, and bind us to saying what the Father says to say. I think we have one more person that's willing to pray here, maybe two. Let's see. Hey, Lou, is that you on the line?
Yes.
Would you be willing to say a prayer for our nation and our future or Israel or something?
Yes, I just want to say a little bit of experience that I had today.
Okay.
We asked prayers for the New York area. I've been working on Long Island. The hurricane recovery, there's thousands of people that are working out here. And there's a lot of gas shortages. A lot of people are majorly inconvenienced with no power and cold weather. So that's your prayers, the people to pray for them.
I know, they're cold, hungry, they can't even drive off.
No. And there's another storm coming, and I would ask that you pray, that people would pray about to diminish that also. And that would be my prayer request for tonight.
Do you want to lead us in a prayer?
No, I just would ask that people would pray about that.
Okay.
And, I could pray for our nation, and I would be willing to do that.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the people that have gone over to help, literally thousands of people. And we pray that they'll have wisdom, just real wisdom. We pray for supernatural assistance for them, for supernatural connections and divine appointments, and that they'll be able to get the supplies they need and everything that they need so they can give these people assistance. And I just pray for massive, massive revival in that area, that people will turn to you, God, for real. Just really turn to you. And you know, it'll be a whole different New York and New Jersey. Even after last year's storm, it was tough, but it'll be a whole different area this year, that they will know that they know that you're the answer. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hope you're staying warm, Lou.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. One more caller. Area code 706. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I have a couple of scriptures here that have just kind of been on my mind, on my heart, and sort of jumping off the page at me. So would you mind if I read them and then just pray?
Please, please.
Okay. The first one is Proverbs 6, 16, 17, and 18. 16, 17, 18, and 19. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood.
Oh, me.
A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Oh.
Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. The others are Psalms 89 and 9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. And then Psalms 89, 21 and 22, with whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Father God, that a spirit of conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment would go out across the land, Father God, that we would vote godly conviction, that we would turn back to your ways, Father God, that you would forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for lying, for believing lies, for being told lies, and not seeking you to find out the difference, Father God. For all the abortions, the bloodshed, the murder, Father God, that you would forgive us, that you would wash us and remove Father God, the blood stains. Remove the blood guiltiness from us, Father God. For every time, Father God, that we have allowed wicked imaginations to rise up in our heart, Lord, where we have thought that we could do it without you, and pride, where we thought we didn't need you, Father God, and we didn't rely on you, ask you to forgive us, Father God, that you would set our feet on paths of righteousness, Lord, for your name's sake. And Father God, I ask that you would, in this nation, expose the lies, Father God, not for fanaticism, not for finger pointing, but Father God, so that your people who have been lulled to sleep would know the truth, Father God, that they would know the gravity of the situation and the times and seasons that we're in. And Father God, that we ask for the people in the Northeast, Father, who have been so affected by the storm. Lord, I ask for every heart, for every mind that sinks upon you, Father, that says, where is God? Lord, help us, Father, that you would so supernaturally answer them that revival would start in the Northeast, Father God, for the threat of the storm that's coming in, Lord God, that you would still the waves, Father God, that you rule the raging of the sea, and you're well able to still it, Father God. If man can go in with a plane and control a storm, surely our God is able to handle any storm that comes their way. Father God, we ask for your will to be done. We ask for provision to come from all sides for the people who are still suffering, Father, who are cold, who are hungry, who are without power. We ask that your heart of compassion would go out to them, that the resources and supplies would begin to just show up, Father God, from everywhere, that people would not be hungry or thirsty or cold, Father God. And, Father, we pray for the election tomorrow, that you would raise up, Father God, the candidate who your hand is upon, Father God, the candidate who your hand is established with, and that you would strengthen him also, Father God, that the enemy would not exact upon him, nor would wickedness afflict him. Father God, we ask that anywhere, Father, that there may be deception, doubt, unbelief, the need for a greater walk with you, Father God. Actually, we ask for both candidates, Father God, that you would minister to them in the night seasons, Father God. We know that it's not your desire that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Father God, we honor the office of President of the United States, and so we don't speak against either person that's running, but we ask, Father God, that you would minister to them both, Lord, that they would know you in a greater way, that your will would be known, Father God. And last of all, Father God, we pray for Israel. I ask you, Father God, because you're a covenant-keeping God, I ask you that the United States, Father God, would honor covenant with
That's
Israel.
Right.
But I thank you, Father God, that even where we have failed, even where we have fallen short, and if we should do so in the future, Father God, that your hand is upon them, that, Father God, when the enemy rises up against them, that you will so supernaturally defend them, that the world will take notice and say, surely, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the one true and living God.
Amen.
We ask all these things, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. And I just want to agree with that. And I want to say that in the Bible, God calls Israel his land.
Yes.
It's not the question, really, the root of it isn't, is it the Jews' land or is it the Palestinians' land or whoever? God says it's his land, and it's not up for sale. It's not up to be fought over or taken. And so that's why we see in Revelation that Jesus appears and puts his feet down on the mountain and says, this is mine. And, Lord, I just pray for true humility. You said if my people will humble themselves, a key word there, that we will humble ourselves and realize there are so many things that are being voted on this week, that God's saying, that's not up for a vote. I've already told you. And I have the last word. I'm going to have the last word. And I love you, and I'm going to let you see that so that you can be in right relationship with me. And I just want to agree with everything you prayed, Lisa. Have a wonderful night.
You too.
And I want to share one more commitment prayer. This one's short, and I'm going to pray it real slow. It's on my Crosswalk Life website. If you look under, I'm looking to see, where did I find it? It's under the Crosswalk Prayers. There's three prayers on that page. And, oh, this one's called John Wesley's Prayer. It's only about a dozen lines. But I'm praying not even first and foremost about a candidate or any number of candidates. I'm praying that the people of God will renew their commitment. The prodigals will come home. The lukewarm will be hot. Or those that are just wondering if God is real and if any of this works, if they will be able to see in us a testimony, because we are 100% committed. We're willing to be 100% obedient. And no matter what, that we're in this for the long haul, throughout eternity, you know, not just to get our way. And so John Wesley's prayer goes like this. I am no longer my own, but yours. Just let that sink in. Put me to what you will. Let me be put to doing, or put me to suffering. Let me be employed by you, for you, or laid aside for you. Exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, or let me be empty. Let me have all things, or let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your disposal. And now, glorious and blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Why do I get so serious about this? What am I saying? I'm saying tonight, let's vote to be 100% committed and 100% obedient to God. It's not contingent on who wins or what the circumstances are or how much persecution or how much we're blessed or if we prosper. Let's just turn our eyes on Jesus. Let's say, Lord, we're committed, whether we're empty or full, whether we appear to be blessed or complete, appear to be a success or not. We're going to keep our eyes on you. We're going to be as faithful, faithful, faithful. Be end time witnesses back. We won't be that one that betrays you. Anytime. We're allowing us to live in this day and time. This is why we created NowFaith.tv. So that you could go there and start. You can click on schools and click on the ministry training school and click on year one semester. And get strong enough to be an end times witness. If you need healing, you can read the articles. Let's pull together in Him, in the unity and harmony of the Spirit.
together. Upon you, Lord.